The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hi, everyone. It's Jessica Drummond with the Integrative Women's Health Institute, and I'm excited to be here today with Lisa Frawley. She is a wonderful addition to our, I think, kind of colleague expert panel that we have here at the Integrative Women's Health Institute, because Lisa brings a really unique perspective. She's actually a lawyer, and she is a legal coach, which I think you'll find is a unique hybrid, and I'm excited to get into what she has to share with us today. I want to introduce her a bit. As I said, she's a legal coach and an attorney. She's the creator of Get Legally Covered, so you can go bear, which is her legal course for coaches and entrepreneurs. And she's really a holistic lawyer, which is why I wanted to bring her on the call today, because she, you know, has this interesting combination of experience. She has years of experience as a healthcare attorney in a large corporate law firm, and she's been certified as actually a health coach and a life coach. So she really understands the world of health coaching, the world of coaching. She has that style about her, unlike, you know, sometimes the profession of lawyers can have a bit of a overlay. I can say that, I think, because my dad's a lawyer, so. So anyway, she has been educated. She earned her law degree at Case Western Reserve University with honors from Miami University of Ohio. She became certified as a health coach through the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. She became a life coach through Life U and a fitness. She's actually also an ACE fitness instructor. She's been trained as a transformational coaching method master coach through Holistic MBA. She's accredited by the AADP and is former president of the Junior League of Portland. So she brings a really unique style, a lot of education, a lot of experience, and I'm excited to introduce her to all of you today.
Thank you, Jessica. It's great to be with you and with your whole community, because the work that you do at the Integrative Women's Health Institute is so amazing for educating women and women coaches and entrepreneurs to help other women in the world in particular. So thank you for the work that you do, and I'm just really excited to be here today to help answer legal questions and give some clarity to people about what the heck they should be doing and what they should be thinking about as they're starting or continuing to develop their business.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. So let's dive right in. We've had a lot of discussions amongst my students and our readers about scope of practice issues, because many of the students at the Integrative Women's Health Institute are not only certified as health coaches, they also may be certified like you as fitness instructors or licensed, you know, healthcare providers, and licensure carries different weight in different states. So I'll let you take this question and run with it.
Sure. I'm so glad you asked that, Jessica, because I get asked that question all the time by people who are licensed professionals of all sorts, doctors, like you said, therapists, social workers, massage therapists, like the list just goes on and on. And for a lot of people who are traditionally licensed, they want to expand beyond what it is that they're doing. And there's a lot of gray area and confusion around what can I do that protects my licensure and what can I do as a coach or an entrepreneur of some other sort that isn't going to threaten my licensure. Mm-hmm. And so, as many people know, as you guys know, just to refresh your memory for those who don't know, when you have a license, you're really restricted to practicing in your state. And each state is different. So when you go into this online world to do coaching or otherwise, you know, it gets really challenging to figure out, well, if I'm licensed in my state and I'm only allowed to see and work with people in my state, how do I do group programs, or how do I do online programs, or how does that work? So there's a couple ways to approach this. First, if you are a licensed professional, let's just say you are a therapist, for an example, like a licensed mental health therapist. Let's say that you do see people in person in your practice in your state, and now you want to do some coaching, and you want to work with people outside your state. So one way to do it is when you are in your state and you are in your practice, you call yourself a therapist. But when you are doing an online course or group course, otherwise, and you're reaching people outside of your practice, you would call yourself a coach. And your bio might say that you happen to be a therapist, but you're holding yourself out publicly. You're calling yourself publicly a coach. And you're not giving one-on-one individualized therapy in that time with them or in that group program, okay? Mm-hmm. So first is recognizing in person in your state, calling yourself different, something different outside of your state. The other way that you can often do it is to, when you are serving as a licensed professional, and let's say you are wanting to work with people outside of your state, you don't want to be doing one-on-one therapy, for example, or you don't want to have a one-on-one therapeutic relationship because you're not their therapist if they're outside your state. In that case, you can give general information or do a webinar or do a lecture or do a course, but you can be a therapist, but you can't give any one-on-one therapy to enter into any sort of therapeutic relationship with your clients. Does that make sense?
Right. So you can essentially provide patient education.
Correct.
That would be applicable to anyone. It's
correct.
Individualized.
Correct. But if you do want to do one-on-one work, you would have to call yourself a coach, hold yourself at a coach. And Jessica, I tell people the gold standard, it's not always possible. Oh, are you okay?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. A little throat chakra there. If the gold standard is to actually, if you're a licensed professional, to have an entirely different website for your coaching practice. This isn't always possible because I know, and you and I talked the other day, Jessica, a lot of therapists are moving out of their traditional practice into coaching, but they still are seeing therapy clients. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's tricky, but the gold standard, the best thing you can do that will protect you the most is to have two entirely different separate websites, one for your therapy and one for your coaching. That way no one could accuse you of being a therapist who's trying to do one-on-one work outside of your state. It really breaks it apart. It makes it crystal clear. At the very least, have a separate coaching tab on your website for your coaching, but you still want to be really careful, at least while you are licensed as a therapist and practicing a therapist, that you want to be really careful that you aren't doing a lot of one-on-one work as a coach, because as you guys know, if you have a therapy client, they will always be your client in the role of a therapist. They can never then just become your coaching client, right? You always have that therapeutic relationship, so you just want to be really careful about that.
Okay, and so how about when you perhaps do a combination group program where there's a physical therapist involved, a health coach involved? How is that much clearer? Because obviously when the person is seeing the physical therapist, they're getting physical therapy. When they're seeing someone who's holding themselves out as a health coach, they're getting health coaching.
Exactly. And that's exactly how you presented it, Jessica. So the physical therapist is obviously going to be seeing the person locally or doing either patient education with them or doing work locally one-on-one with them in their role as a physical therapist. Mm-hmm. And then in the program description in your client agreement, you always want to make sure you're using a client agreement. In your description, you would be saying you will be receiving, you know, this program includes one-on-one sessions with, whatever your name is, physical therapist in her office, number two. One-on-one coaching sessions with health coach Susie Liu by phone or Skype, you know, every other week or something like that. So it's really clear that the physical therapist is seeing the person in their office, and the coach is actually, you can work with them one-on-one in person too, but a lot of coaches, as you know, work by phone or Skype.
Sure, right, okay.
And keep it very separate.
Now, let me get into the sticky question of using nutrition skills if you were a coach.
Oh, yes. I love your sticky questions. So as you said, Jessica, when you introduced me, so I am a health coach through the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, and I used to be a healthcare attorney. So I've had a lot of experience in trying to understand where the lines are drawn around what you can do around nutrition when you are a licensed professional and what you can't do. And it's really important for coaches to get really clear about that, because there's a reason why registered dietitians are registered and licensed as dietitians and coaches aren't, because registered dietitians are allowed to do one-on-one nutrition consulting with clients. And that means registered dietitians are allowed to analyze blood tests and analyze nutrition levels in people's bodies and give specialized, individualized nutrition programs for people based upon the results of those blood tests or the food that they're eating, or it's really highly individualized and highly skilled that way. And when you're health coaching, you can certainly work one-on-one with clients. But in many states in our country, the states are really restrictive. And if you're not licensed, then you really can only do that patient, what we were calling patient education piece before. It's really just education and information for your clients generally. And the Center for Nutrition Advocacy, I know a lot of people have heard of it, but the Center for Nutrition Advocacy, which is nutritionadvocacy.org, is an organization that helps everyone understand what you can and can't do in certain states around nutrition, whether you have a license or not. So you want to take a look at that website, and you'll see that there's a map that indicates some states are highlighted in red and orange and yellow and green. And the red and orange states on the map are the ones that are more restrictive. Those states in particular, red and orange states, are restrictive, just like the stoplight, stop, right? Red means stop. You can't do the one-on-one individualized nutrition consulting. So what can you do if you're in a restrictive state? Well, one of the things I tell people you can do is you can work one-on-one with clients, but you want to be presenting them with a program that you would provide to everyone, right? Mm-hmm. You're not taking into consideration the person's individual characteristics at all. So if client A came to you, who was a woman in her mid-40s who just wanted to lose 10 pounds, mm-hmm. and client B came to you, who was a woman in her mid-60s who was diabetic and very obese, she would be getting the exact same plan, the exact same program, which would be around healthy eating and living. Mm-hmm. And it would be around, you know, like week one, this is what you do. Week two, this is what you do. Week three, this is what you do. So that both of those people would not be told differing information based on their circumstances. And instead, they would be told, you need to talk to your doctor or to register a dietitian to deal with your specific circumstances.
Right. And then there are some states which also have, like, what I have, the certification in clinical nutrition. So, which can lead to licensure, and then, of course, there are places where you can practice as a certified clinical nutritionist that's not a registered dietitian. So talk about that a little bit.
Yes, that's right. So there are certain states. Remember we talked about that map on the website, nutritionadvocacy.org. The states that are yellow and green, you have a lot more leeway. Okay, so the states that are yellow and green, like Jessica's talking about, being a clinical licensed nutritionist, you can... Generally speaking, you still need to check with each individual state, but generally speaking, you can hold yourself out as a clinical licensed nutritionist. You can do things like use the word nutrition on your website. You can provide individualized programs and plans for people in those states. You do want to make sure you're watching the legislation, though, because a lot of those yellow and green states are getting more restrictive. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was just talking last week, there's legislation both in New York and New Jersey that may make those states more restrictive than what they are right now. Mm-hmm. So you do want to be aware of what's going on in your own state. If people have questions, obviously, Jessica, they're certainly welcome to ask me and I can help them with that. But it's a highly individualized based upon where you are. And the key is just getting really clear, because every health coach, every, you know, nutritionist out there, you can do things, you can have a practice, you can work one-on-one with clients, you just have to get really clear about what you can and can't do in your state.
Right, and just to clarify, it would be a certified clinical nutritionist, not a licensed clinical nutritionist.
Oh, sure, okay, yep, that works too, yes.
Licensure, I think licensure is where we start to get sticky, but yes. And yes, you can get licensed as a clinical nutritionist, and I think it's like 14 states now, which is good.
Exactly. And it's changing and growing all the time.
It is. So, and I think that website that you mentioned, can you state the URL again?
Yeah, it's nutritionadvocacy.org.
Yeah, that website I think is a very important guide, because they do divide the states up into red and yellow and orange and blue, and I mean not blue, green. And you know, the other thing that they also do, which is helpful, is bring up the issue, like you just mentioned, of states that are under active kind of revisiting of their nutrition.
Yes. And the point that you made was great too, Jessica. I I erred in my words, but the concept of certification is very different than licensure. So mm-hmm. the point that you made is very well taken, because in some states there are certain things you can do when you have certification, but in other states there are things that you can't do.
Yeah.
You have to be licensed.
Absolutely. So I think, to be really clear, anyone who is practicing as a health coach, because health coach is not a clearly defined
correct
term, can basically in any state safely recommend things that are
yes.
essentially general knowledge that you could put in a blog post.
Correct. That's how I like to say it. Exactly. I always tell people, my little test is, if you can say it in a blog post, you can do it in a red or orange state for the most part, meaning that you would tell everyone in northern U.S. states that they might be benefit from taking vitamin D because the sunlight is restricted for so much of the year. And, important and, you would also say, but before you do that, please make sure you check with your own doctor or your own registered dietitian, your own licensed nutritionist, to make sure that it works for you and your body. So you can give general information about vitamin D, but you wouldn't be saying, now if you're low here, take this many, like, you wouldn't be getting into the prescriptive part of it at all.
I like that. Okay. So let's get into questions about disclaimers a bit. And I see we have some people writing in questions already. We'll get to those absolutely when we get to the end. But let's talk a little bit more about, you know, those disclaimers that you want to put on your website, on your emails, that kind of thing.
Yeah, disclaimers are really the first place to start. So you guys can probably already tell I'm so not, no offense to your dad, Jessica, I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, and I have a lot of lawyers in my family too, but I'm not a traditional, typical lawyer. I have a lot of lawyer friends who are great people, but the way that I approach the law is very different, and because I come from a holistic healing approach too, I believe that the law is really a tool to help you in practical ways to protect yourself, to certainly create a solid legal foundation for your business and make sure you have things in writing to fall back upon. But it's also really what I call spiritually based. It's also, I align each legal step with a chakra, 7 main steps that most entrepreneurs need with 7 chakras. And the first step is the website disclaimer. And I align that with the root chakra, because when we go out into the world and start working as healers and coaches and entrepreneurs, you know, we are sometimes feeling exposed putting our website out there. And the root chakra is associated with things like feeling secure and safe and grounded. So it's the first place to start. The first step for everyone is to have a disclaimer on your website. And what I mean by that is, it's not so much having like a 2-sentence little, what I call a mini disclaimer at the bottom of your website. That's you know, I know a lot of people have that, which is better than nothing, but you really want to have a full disclaimer that can be accessible through the footer of your website that's pages, a couple pages long, that does things like limit your liability and disclaim your liability, but also does things like tell people, hey, on my website, my testimonials are just examples, and I'm here just to give you information and education, and I'm not giving you medical advice, and I'm not giving you legal or financial advice, and any mention of anyone else's website on my website, I'm not liable for what they say. So you really get clear with people about what you do and what you don't do and sort of where you draw your lines when they're looking at your website. Mm-hmm. And it's just the first place to get legal protection for your business, especially in a forward-facing part of your business like your website.
Excellent. So, and I think that also helps if you, as you write that disclaimer or, you know, take one and edit it, you start to get very clear for yourself about what your actual role is.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because when I work with clients, part of our process is actually to have a prep sheet that takes people through also for all of the different documents that I work with, but it takes people through those questions to help them get clear. Because until you put something in writing, there sometimes can be fuzziness around it. You just haven't really thought about it. You're focusing on other things in your business. And part of why it's important to have, you know, clear documents that help you feel secure, that help you feel really empowered in your work, is because when you have that clarity, you also create a legal boundary, but you also create an energetic boundary. And this is where I get into sort of the holistic part of the work. When your boundaries are clearer and you've really thought about this and put it in writing, then you're also going to be drawing to you people who have those that same level of clarity and that same comfort with boundaries and clarity. And that can help your business immensely and avoid lots of headaches in the future.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So, totally. We talked a little bit too about bringing up this issue of, you know, what can you talk about online or on social media or in your emails versus, you know, what you really need to save for a consult. And this gets a little bit into HIPAA laws. And can you expand a little bit on those kinds of things?
Yeah, I get a lot of questions about HIPAA, and I used to be a healthcare attorney, right? So I learned all about HIPAA and worked with a lot of hospitals and medical professionals about HIPAA when it came out a gazillion years ago, and it's really important. The thing that most people don't realize, though, is that health coaches who are not licensed as a registered dietitian or nutritionist, but just health coaches like me who went to IIN, for example, or coming through, obviously, the Institute, you are not subject to HIPAA. And this is really important because when you work as a health coach, you're working, generally speaking, from your home or maybe from an office, but you are not acquiring medical records, or you're not obtaining medical records from a hospital or from a physician's office. The work that you're doing and the notes that you're taking for your clients are really important to keep confidential, but you're not required to do that by HIPAA. Now, having said that, as I shared with Jessica when we talked not too long ago, one of the things that's really important, though, as a health coach, is, as you guys all know, is that confidentiality with your client is so important for the health and the respect for your relationship. So from the standpoint of being a professional, you do want to keep everything confidential. And I even do not disclose, when I was a health coach or as a legal coach, I don't even disclose anyone's name who is my client, unless that person is given a testimonial on my website, which is publicly known. I don't ever say that someone was my client even, let alone what we talked about as my client. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important to do as a professional, but it's not legally required in the same way it's required under HIPAA.
Right. And so for our students who do have licenses and something else,
yes,
like a licensed nurse, a licensed physical therapist, a licensed massage therapist, when you are practicing in that capacity, you are subject to HIPAA. But if you're as we talked about in the very beginning, when you're holding yourself out as a coach, when you're working in that realm, when you're not using your licensed physical therapy skills, nursing skills, whatever, you may still have the brain that was trained in that way. And I think we don't need to let go of that completely, but you know, you have some understanding from that perspective, but when you're practicing as a coach, using coaching skills, keeping yourself limited to the nutrition recommendations that are within the bounds of being a coach, then you are not subject to HIPAA.
And that's an important point that you're raising too, Jessica, to make that further distinction, because one of the things that's really important that's why it's so key for people to have a website disclaimer to start with, a lengthy, thorough website disclaimer, is because if you are a licensed professional, you need to indicate, like in your capacity as a coach, that you're not holding yourself out as a licensed professional, which also means that people can't then place those same HIPAA expectations on you when you're in the role of a coach. Mm-hmm. If you're acting in traditional practice, as a licensed professional, you have to follow HIPAA. But that's why even having the separate websites is really helpful, right? Mm. Because in one, you're talking all about HIPAA in your disclaimer, and the other one, you're not talking about HIPAA. So there are ways to work it in if you're using the same website for both, but it's just so much cleaner and protects you so much more to separate things as much as possible.
Yes, I like that. So one last question, and then we can take some other questions.
Yeah, sure.
When you're practicing in your licensed professional role, so you know, I was a physical therapist. I could at any point go back and practice in Texas. But imagine that I'm practicing as a physical therapist, but I decide to use my health coaching skills. What does that look like from a legal perspective?
Okay. This is a great question. I love how you ask me the tough questions, Jessica. Okay, because I know those are ones that people have, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jessica, let's all picture Jessica, even though she's this amazing professor and instructor, teacher, and knowledgeable leader. Let's imagine her back in her practice as a physical therapist in Texas. And if you're using your health coach, if she's using her health coaching skills when she's working with her physical therapy client, that is totally fine. If you are, because if Jessica, okay, so let's say I'm the one who's a physical therapy client. I had a full replacement of my ACL a couple of years ago. I was a physical therapy client. I totally get it. Mm-hmm. So let's say Jessica's my physical therapist. I'm the client. I come in to see her for my 12 weeks of physical therapy. And meanwhile, she's talking to me about the fact that she also has a 12-week nutrition program or a health coaching program, let's call it that, a health coaching program to help me get more fit, let's say, or to lose weight or to build more muscle mass or whatever it is I want to do. So because we're in Jessica's physical therapy office and we're doing physical therapy work and she has a combo program, that is totally fine for her to do those together because we're still in the realm of her physical therapy licensure. I'm in state, I'm in person, I'm in her office. It's a combination program. It's totally fine to do those together. But if I were living if she had a client that was not her in-person physical therapy client, then it would be very different as we talked about previously, right? Because she could treat me if I'm in Texas, I live in Texas, I'm coming to see her in Texas, I'm in state, she's following her state licensure rules, and she can always do health coaching with me, even if I'm her physical therapy client. So we would just want to be clear in the client agreement. She'd want to be clear that when I'm doing physical therapy here, I'm acting in the role of your physical therapist, and when I'm doing health coaching, I'm acting in the role of your health coach.
And I think, though, the more, I guess, coaching skills, less the nutrition skills, but more where you're doing things like helping patients with behavior change, a lot of that are skills that overlap with physical therapy skills. Because imagine if I, you know, I'm recommending, you know, to give you a knee exercise program and you, for whatever reason, are not carrying it out. And so we do some coaching to figure out why.
Of course.
That's something that could just be, that sort of goes with the flow and really is a part of being a nurse or a PT or a OT or whatever.
That's correct. And even with nutrition or food, you know, everything is about behavior change, right?
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, yes, it's learning what the appropriate behavior is or the appropriate food is to eat or whatever. But yeah, if Jessica is doing physical therapy and sort of coaching me through my blocks, let's pretend I have blocks around this, that's totally fine. I mean, that, you know, because health coaches aren't licensed, anyone can ask coaching type questions of anyone, really.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that restricts you from doing that. I was thinking more, Jessica, of the example of maybe you wanted to do a combination program or to help in a more, you know, broader, more formal way. But if you're using your coaching skills and your physical therapy, you're probably doing that before, even before you called yourself a coach.
Right, absolutely.
Because that's just probably part of who you were and how you approach the world, you know?
Right. So I just wanted
to
be clear.
So, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, totally fine.
But I think that, and the point you made is really important too, because yes, as a physical therapist or as a nurse or as an occupational therapist or as a nutritionist who's licensed, you can offer health coaching, you know, in tangent with what you're doing in a live setting.
Totally. And that's the safest way to do it actually with one-on-one, because you are protecting your and working within your scope of licensure, not threatening it by doing something outside of your state.
Okay, excellent. So anything else you want to add before we take any questions?
So the one thing I would want to say is that, so we talked about website disclaimer being your first step, and I associate that with the root chakra. The second step for coaches is to do a client agreement and to have and use a client agreement. And the only reason why I want to, well, not I associate with the sacral chakra, because your client agreement is obviously it helps to set boundaries and your policies and clarity with your clients, and it's a huge gift to them to have everything in writing, which is a totally different way to look at like scary legal documents, because they don't have to be scary at all. They can be done with a lot of legal love, as I call it. But your clients get really thrilled, believe it or not, to know what they can and can't do and what's expected of them. And it also protects your income, of course, because you're writing in there what happens if they miss their appointment or what happens if they don't pay you on time, etc. Now, the only trick is if in licensed professions, in many licensed professions, you can't use client agreements. You are not allowed to use client agreements. So So you have to be really careful there. That's why, again, it's so great if you can totally separate as much as possible. Hi, over here, I'm a physical therapist. Hi, over here, I'm a coach. So that when you're working with them as a coach, you do use a client agreement, which is really important. But obviously, as a physical therapist, you don't use a client agreement at all.
Excellent. That's super helpful. Okay, so I hope we haven't confused people more than we've helped them so far.
That's okay. That's why we like them to ask questions. It's confusing. And Jessica, I mean, what a huge nod to you that you're offering this, and you're really diving in with the hard questions around licensure. I mean, this isn't just what do I need to do to protect my practice getting started, and that's what I usually tell people, step one, website disclaimer, step two, client agreement. But this is really like, where are those lines drawn? And they're hard sometimes to come up with black and white answers because each state varies, situations can vary, but we're doing our best to try to help people understand, even though this isn't specific legal advice for anyone, we're really trying to help them with educating them and knowing where the lines are drawn generally. So kudos to you for just diving in with the hard questions.
Thank you, Lisa. And thank you for answering them. And I think that, you know, this call is really a structural call and an opportunity for people to recognize, okay, these may be where there's some mushiness in my yes. business that if I get clearer about, I'm yes. going to feel more confident. I'm going exactly. to, you know, be able to practice with more, you know, knowing my boundaries. And I think when we have more confidence, we can treat our patients so much better.
Exactly. And we're more successful. Like when you feel more empowered, you feel more expansive, you feel more secure, you feel more clear, you feel more able to serve. And then my belief is that you also then are drawing towards you people who are excited to work with someone who is empowered and expansive and secure and clear too.
Absolutely. All right, so let me read some of the questions we've got here already. And if you haven't typed in your question, you can either type it in the chat box here on the webinar, or you can, I think there's a way for you to raise your hand. Let me check really quick. Yeah, or you can click on the little thing and raise your hand and I can unmute you and we'll go from there. So let me read the questions that we have so far. All right. So what if the way that you support clients is always integrative from the intake and kind of across your titles?
I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. Like the way that you approach clients is integrative and it goes across your titles, meaning you're licensed and you're doing things that are quote unlicensed, meaning like coaching.
I think so. Let me see if I can unmute her and we'll chit chat for a second. Hold on.
Yeah.
All right, Lisa. This question is from Lisa Holland. I'm gonna unmute you here if you're with us. Hi, Lisa.
Hey. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear everyone. Thank you very much. I'm asking because I have. Certificate. I have like too many letters after my name. That's
yes.
And I actually work as a physio yogi, really the main way. And that's always been that's pretty much the traditional, the very first health coach ever, life coach, was the yogi guru. And so that incorporates movement, mindset, you know, soul nourishment, a bunch of stuff just under that umbrella.
Okay.
But from a legal standpoint, you know, going a little bit more broader than my office now and doing things online and this and that, I'm just kind of questioning because my intake is very mm-hmm. integrative. I'm wearing, you know, I'm asking them about their nourishment and their this and their that. And I'm very much into the yogic sciences. So like all you're saying with the chakras and energetics and mm-hmm. all of that is creating mm-hmm. a picture from which I normally would work from. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering how that works when
sure.
I know you're saying, you know, have different websites and this and that, but what if that is your service? Is that you look at all the levels of the person and all the
sure.
the things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you're asking that. A couple of things are coming up. One is I'm not, of course, licensed professionals can look holistically at people. And also like yogis can look at people holistically too. So it's not that. But so what state are you in, Lisa?
oh, the disaster state of North Carolina in terms
okay.
of
medicine, but yes.
I'm on the border of South Carolina, so I like literally can like do things there. So I'm very, very cautious with the whole nutrition thing. I just stay very, very global, but I'm more asking from just the way I integratively. It's hard for me to say this is going to be PT, this is going to be coaching, this is going to be yoga, this is going to be because
yeah.
me, I really kind of.
Yeah. And where? What's yeah. is your business registered in the state of North Carolina? Like, do you have an LLC or an S corp, or do you have your business registration there?
Yeah, I'm LLC in North Carolina.
North Carolina. Okay. Okay. Great. Good. Excellent. So it's interesting because the state licensure does actually impact how holistic we can be sometimes, meaning that you know when it comes to the, like you can certainly ask your clients, particularly on the nutrition front, you can ask them for their nutrition information. But in North Carolina, you do want to stay away from creating a program for them that is based around that individualized nutrition that they're telling you, right? You can ask people about it, sure, they can share it with you, but you can't create a personalized program for them based on the nutrition piece. Now, as a physio yogi, you know, guru, you can approach their life holistically, but just not specifically around that nutrition piece. And I know you do more than nutrition, but that is an important component because North Carolina is kind of cracking down on people, so I do want to make sure you're aware of that, right? So I would focus on the other aspects.
I just talked to them about different ways that they can get
it. Oh, good.
And I stay away from that. My thing is
beautiful. That's beautiful.
Website, because it's really hard because my gig is that I'm an integrative practitioner, and so separating it, I'm trying for them to realize this is all.
I know. I understand. Believe me, I understand. And right now, we, as you all know, the students, you know, this Jessica's whole vision is everyone to learn integrative women's health and the Integrative Women's Health Institute. We're all integrative, and we are so far ahead of the law, all of us. We're so far ahead of the law. So me too, I get it. I'm a holistic lawyer. Like, I get it. So what I want to do is just help you know where the lines are drawn, and then everyone decides for themselves the risks that they take, right? But I always say to people, I'm really progressive as a person and philosophically, but when it comes to the law, I try to tell you things that are more conservative because I don't want to mess around with your business, right? I don't want to tell you to live on the edge when that's not legally responsible of me to do that. So I would say if you are an integrative practitioner like you are, if there are things that you do that are licensed, you do want to stay following your licensure laws and regulations around that. Doesn't mean you can't talk to the person holistically or approach them holistically, but you know, you want to be really careful about what's individualized inside and outside of your state. Does that help?
Yeah.
It's tricky, Lisa. It's just, tricky. I mean, it's tricky
it's
stuff.
Super tricky, and it's just
super tricky.
Like you said, it's your own risk management and
it is.
Being
and
somewhat of an entrepreneur ahead of the game. It's always
correct.
Sort of, you know.
That's correct. And that's why I tell people, you know, if you're – so tell me what your area of licensure is.
Physical therapy.
Physical therapy, okay. So that was like the example that Jessica gave. Like if you're doing physical therapy with someone, yeah, you can talk to them and coach them and support them in other ways, but you still want to follow your physical therapy licensure laws around licensure. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if you're working with anyone out of state, you want to be more generalized with them than you can with people in state where you can be more individualized. That's what the law says. I'm just telling you what the law says. Yeah. You can decide what you do.
To just get out of being a physical therapist if they're not necessarily in my state.
Yes. But the trick is, on your website, though, you want to be really careful about not holding yourself out as both on your website.
Okay.
Or drawing really clear lines. Yeah, you just want to get really clear about that. I know it's so tricky, you guys. I feel for you. I get it. Believe me, I'm right there with you. I just want to help you understand where your risks are, and then you can decide what risk you take.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. Okay, we're going to go to the next question. So that was good, and I think, you know, to summarize, as a physical therapist in North Carolina, she can really work within her practice act in a very holistic way. When mm-hmm. she's starting to work with clients who are outside of her state, it's mm-hmm. much cleaner to practice
yes.
clearly as a health coach and separate. Even though she's not going to forget everything she knows as a physical therapist, she's not really going to bring that into play.
She can't bring it into play.
Yeah.
She actually yeah. would say, I'm a health coach. Hi, welcome to my website. I'm a health coach.
Yeah.
And then in her bio over here, it might say, hi, I'm a health coach. Oh, by the way, I've also received training as a physical therapist. Like, it's so not the focus of it at all. You don't want your website to say, hi, I'm a health coach and a physical therapist.
Right.
If you're practicing outside of your state.
Excellent. Okay. That's very clear. Sorry, I've got a bit of a cold today. I'm like, oh.
No, that's okay. It's okay.
All right. So we have another question. When you're talking about the states, oh, this is a good question. When you're talking about the states, is it the state where the practitioner lives or where the client is?
It's where the practitioner lives. And not only that, it's where the practitioner's principal place of business is and where you've registered your business. So just really quickly, you guys, if you don't have an LLC or an S corp yet, that's totally fine. You want to make sure you're all of you, whether you do or don't, you want to make sure that you've registered your business at the local level with your local government. Sometimes your state government, if your name of your business is different than your own name, and sometimes your county. So you do need to file usually, if you're a licensed practitioner, you usually have to file a business license with your city, county, or state. If you're unlicensed, you do usually still have to file some sort of business registration that says, hi, I have a business, here's where it's located, and I probably have to pay personal property taxes. So you want to do that regardless of whether you're a sole proprietor or whether you're an LLC or S corp.
Perfect. Okay, thanks. All right, here's another question. I'm a licensed registered nurse in Connecticut and certified health coach delivering an in-person in Connecticut mindfulness meditation education program. What kind of an amount of liability insurance should I have?
So I love the fact that you're Connecticut for you because that is a green state, which means you have a lot more leeway to do the work that you're doing, which is wonderful. In terms of insurance, if you're seeing people in your home, you definitely want to check, and I don't know that you are, but you want to check with your own insurance agent about your homeowner's insurance to find out if it covers people coming into your home for a home office. You also want to check with your insurance agent about general liability insurance as well. And in terms of professional liability insurance, that's another question you do need to talk to your insurance agent about. As a lawyer, I can talk to you about the kinds of insurance you want to find out about. I can talk to you about when you might need certain types of insurance, but in the amount and the exact type for you will also depend on the state where you live. So you're going to want to talk to your local insurance agent about the specifics of how much and the type that you need based on where you are. But definitely think about personal liability insurance, general liability insurance, homeowner's insurance, and also for some people it is also helpful to have an umbrella policy that might go beyond your professional liability insurance or your homeowner's insurance as well. So call up your trusty, friendly insurance agent and ask them, tell them your scenario, tell them what you're doing, and ask them what they recommend.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, and here's a question. Oh, this is going to be a challenging one for you, Lisa. So, hi, ladies. I'm based in Switzerland, and I have clients in the United States.
Lovely.
Is there anything I need to do to ensure that there's no problem with my clients being in the United States? And I know this woman, Audrey, she is I'm fairly certain she's purely a health coach.
Wonderful. Well, Audrey, it's wonderful that you're a health coach in Switzerland. That's great. So what I tell clients who are outside the United States, I can help people with some things related to their business outside the United States that are general for everyone, like disclaimers and terms and conditions for your website and things like that. But Audrey, you're going to want to actually talk to a Swiss lawyer or someone in your local city about how you register your business there and what you need to do there and what you're allowed to do there and what you're not allowed to do there. And that may depend on, I don't know if they have states in Switzerland or if it's just the country laws or provincial laws, I'm not sure. I know about like France and Canada, but I don't know about Switzerland. So whatever your local government is or your state country government is, You'll want to find out from them what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do, because it depends on where you're located as a health coach, not necessarily where your clients are located.
All right, great. Thank you. And let's take one more question. This is from Sarah. She's a registered nurse, a health coach, and almost a certified nutritional endocrinology practitioner. Should she avoid using the RN BSN at the end of her name on her health coaching website? She's in Michigan, a green state.
Okay. She's wondering, should I avoid using the nursing
letters?
Letters. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's what I tell people about your letters. So you're always allowed to use your academic credentials, right? Mm-hmm. So like, my academic credentials are Lisa Fraley, JD, right, which means Juris Doctor for Lawyer. No matter where I go in the world the rest of my life, I can use JD because that's an academic degree I've earned. Mm-hmm. PhD soon for you too, Jessica, right? Mm-hmm. So for your nursing degree, you can always put your letters of your academic credentials after your name. But that's very different than holding yourself out as, hi, I'm a nurse and a health coach, mm-hmm. on your website, for example. Mm-hmm. So if you're planning to practice only with people in your state, and I have a lot of nurse health coach clients, so I'm familiar with the issues here. Some people do just want to locally see people in their state and combine their nursing and health coaching. Great, that's fine. Then you would use both. But if you're going to be a health coach and work with clients all over the world or all over the U.S., wherever, then you would want to say, hi, I'm a health coach. And you would not want to have a picture of you in your nursing attire on your website. You would want to say, hi, I'm a health coach. I'm here to help you implement healthy goals in your life. You can do individualized work with them in Michigan, which is great. And on your bio, you can say, I'm a health coach. I went here to receive my health coaching education. I've studied at the Institute, the Integrated Women's Health Institute. I'm graduating on this date. And by the way, I spent 20 years as a registered nurse, BA, whatever. Like, you can say it in your bio. But again, you're not holding yourself out as a practicing nurse. You're holding yourself out as a health coach.
Yes, excellent. I think that's really the ticket. And I think that's really clarifying for everyone here, because I think there's two main things, if I could sort of summarize. One is, you know, definitely getting those chakra steps in alignment, the website disclaimer, the client agreement, and so forth. But for so many of our students who have these multiple licensures and certifications, getting clear on where your practice is going to be, and if you're going to lead with being a health coach, you do have to essentially downplay your license and just keep it in your bio, not be combining, you know, physical therapist and health coach and licensed nutritionist and licensed, you know, massage therapist, unless you're having that practice in one location and preferably in a green state.
Correct. That's right. You did. Yay, Jessica. That's great. Yeah. Very helpful. Very helpful.
All right. Yeah. So now tell us, Lisa, how you work with people and what kinds of programs you have.
Sure. So what I have done, I've worked over the past 3 years as a legal coach and attorney with hundreds of entrepreneurs, and I love working with entrepreneurs. And I've worked one-on-one with people, so if people need help doing their website disclaimer or their client agreement or their website terms and conditions or filing an LLC or trademark, like lots of legal steps, I've worked one-on-one with clients, which is great. I've loved it. And a lot of people have found that to be more of an investment upfront than they're used to. So I created a legal course that has received a lot of positive feedback, and I've shared it and run it twice, mm-hmm. called Get Legally Covered so you can go bare, because the idea is when you get legally covered with the right documents in place, you actually feel safe enough to show up and go bare to the world, which is a lot different than running your business legally naked.
Yes.
And you can, right? It's such a beautiful thing to feel like you can bare your heart and soul feeling safe. So that course is one that offers you 8 legal documents, all for the investment of working with me privately for 1 or 2 documents. So a lot of people love it because you get documents, you get videos, you get audio guides that take you through each document, so you can really go through each of those 7 chakras and get the right steps in place. It teaches you how to register your business, like we talked about earlier, It teaches you whether you need an LLC or an S-Corp, trademark, whether you have something to trademark. It helps you with online programs and products, what you need legally, and also all of your website protection beside your disclaimer. So it's a really thorough but easy course. And Jessica will have a link for you that you can use to sign up, because I've wanted to offer you all a beautiful, special discounted rate on the course. Yes. So it is, you will receive $500 off of the course, and that's a 25% discount. So that you, and by the way, you guys, because I'm a coach, I get it with the investment part. So I offer 10 payments with no added interest. And I don't know any other lawyer out there in the world that gives you legal documents up front with 10 payments to pay it off. So that's the coach in me that's coming out. So Jessica will have a link for you. Yeah. But I invite you, if any of you feel like you need to have legal documents in place, this is a great one-stop shop. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to talk to you. You can just email me at lisa@lisafraley.com, F-R-A-L-E-Y, lisafraley.com, and I can answer any questions you have about the course or otherwise.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And yes, we'll have a link so you can get the discounted rate on Lisa's course along with the recording of this teleclass, which has been extremely informative to me, and I hope everyone out here has enjoyed it. And anything else, Lisa?
No, I just want to thank you so much, and thank you everyone for taking the time to attend. I know you're so busy with all of your studies and everything else you're doing in your life and your practice and your work, so thank you for taking the time to attend and for asking such great questions. Lisa Holland, for sharing your specific scenario, it was so helpful to give an example for everyone. And Jessica, just thank you for the work that you're doing and for inspiring women and professionals to help others. And this is why we're all on the planet, is to help heal and help people live healthier, happier, more beautiful lives. So thank you for the work that you do and for inviting me to join you.
Thank you so much. Yes, it's been our complete pleasure to have you, and I really appreciate it. And as I said, I'll follow up with everyone with an email with the recording of this call and information about your program. And we look forward to inviting you back.
Great. I look forward to it too. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day.
Lots of legal love. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.